You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
All right, I'm Jason Whitlock. That's Marcellus Wiley, that dude.
Yes, sir.
Probably your best suit, Marcellus.
Say it right.
Welcome to Speak for Yourself, the most fearless show in sports. Coming up, we'll tell you if the Lakers finally got their coaching search right. But we start today with this weekend's NBA action. The just completed second round of the NBA playoffs reminds me of the first season of HBO's hit show, Game of Thrones. King Robert Baratheon's rulership was in trouble. He headed to Winterfell to recruit a second superstar, Ned Stark, to shore up his kingdom. By the end of season one, King Robert and Ned were both dead, and a half dozen families were in a fight for the throne. King LeBron James, first of his name, the breaker of hairlines, is dead. That's what we just witnessed, the end of the LeBron James era. Kawhi Leonard swung the final sword when his crazy baseline jumper finally fell through the nets and closed out the Sixers in Game 7 Sunday night. That was the exclamation point. The NBA can survive and thrive without LeBron James. Has the NBA ever had a more compelling second round of the playoffs than the one that just finished? Kawhi dropped 41 in a buzzer-beating game winner. 3 hours earlier, Portland's CJ McCollum dropped 37 points in an incredible come-from-behind victory over the Denver Nuggets in Game 7. On Friday night, Steph Curry closed out the Houston Rockets with 33 points in the second half. Somehow, with Kevin Durant sitting with a calf injury, the Golden State Warriors eliminated James Harden and the Rockets in just 6 games. And let's don't forget that Giannis, the Greek freak, is leading the best team in basketball, the Milwaukee Bucks. The NBA is reinventing itself during these playoffs. Okay, Milwaukee, Portland, and Toronto might not be the sexiest cities in terms of U.S. television markets. A Portland-Milwaukee NBA Finals might be a ratings disaster. But no matter what happens the rest of these playoffs, the NBA is far more interesting next season and moving forward. The league is no longer solely dependent on LeBron's failed quest to catch Michael Jordan as a top storyline. Next year, here's the list of NBA players who have a ratings-driving storyline. Steph Curry, Kevin Durant, Kawhi Leonard, Giannis, Damian Lillard, Joel Embiid, James Harden, Kyrie Irving, Russell Westbrook, and of course, LeBron James. Oh, I almost forgot potentially the biggest name of them all, the Arya Stark of the NBA's Game of Thrones, Zion Williamson. We just saw one of the greatest weekends in NBA history. The fall of LeBron James signals the rise of the NBA. All right, joining the desk now, our NBA champion, Steven Jackson, Yahoo Sports NBA insider Chris Haynes. Marcellus, I'll start with you. Do you agree that that LeBron James no longer rules the NBA?
No, I don't agree with that. The king's still the thing. Don't act
really?
Like that. I mean, dang. You remember the media used to just sit there on the premise like, man, as long as I got the story right, I don't give a damn what y'all think. And then we start a little turn. As long as I get the story first, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
I don't give a damn if it's right, because right. You know, I like these clicks. I'm not accusing you of that, but you sure are early to a party that nobody gonna go to for at least a few more years. But respect. Hey, you get the first dibs on the drink.
You wasn't at the party last night. Where was LeBron?
I gotta admit, I was like,
this whole weekend.
I looked at an invite again. I was like, what's the address? I ain't getting my whip. I ain't getting my car. Here's the thing. We've seen so many guys try to do this. And we saw this in yesteryear's era with Kobe Bryant, when everybody was like, I'm the next Jordan. And it was Kobe. And Kobe's like, everybody wants to be me. Harold Miner, you know, Vince Carter. He's like, I'm the common denominator. LeBron will now be the common denominator through this era. And you're going to see everybody try to get him. Kawhi. Kawhi it. Respect. you got on some New Balances, dog. Like, ain't no way you gonna be the king with some marathon shoes on. You got Giannis, he got on Hulu slippers. And like, everybody's trying to add up to what LeBron already is. Even Steph, two-time MVP. I'm the best in the game. Oh, no, you're not. He didn't even surpass LeBron in his greatness. So I respect everybody. KD has the best chance. But next year, it's going to be about LeBron, the Lakers storyline, and redemption. I think they're going to sell that.
There's only one Kang, K-E-N-G, and it's only going to be one Kang. What LeBron has done for the game, as far as on the court and off the court, nobody could ever do that. So it's only one king. The king makes sure the whole village is taken care of, right? That's what he's done. I don't think KD want to be the king. Kawhi sure don't want to be the king. He want to just chill out and play basketball. A lot of those guys are like that. So I don't think nobody has passed him, but KD is definitely the best player.
Okay, but again, we're not talking about passing. We're talking about they got a whole buffet to choose from now.
Right.
It's not just dependent on LeBron James. No one had – what I'm saying is his reign is over. There's about to be a big fight for who the king is. That not when someone's already ready to replace him.
Well, if you're going to the buffet, you're still going to go to the steak more than you go to the pizza and all that. That's what LeBron is. He's still the king. He's still
the king. Filet mignon.
Yeah, yeah.
I say this. Look, the league needs the king. The league needs LeBron James. And I will say this. The playoffs right now, everybody's talking and bragging about the playoffs, the ratings and things of that nature. But the playoffs are – the ratings are high because the games have been good.
Right. Mm.
The games have – with LeBron – even if LeBron gives you a bad performance, the ratings are going to be there. And on top of that, he's going to say something post-game that's going to raise the buzz and raise antennas up just as much as it would be on the court. And so there's no other player in the NBA that has that type of power on the court and off the court. With Steph, as great as he is, he's not going to give you a great soundbite that we're going to talk about two to 3 days later.
Oh, so Steph saying they disrespected me and they booted me off the court.
He didn't say that. He didn't say at the podium. We caught that on his way to a locker room.
We caught Draymond more than anybody.
There's a difference between
going
on
to the court. Media,
and going on that podium. When you get on that podium for everybody.
That's what you get for throwing me out. That's what you get for throwing me out. He ain't going to do that.
He would do that. Yeah, he would do that.
But Chris, I'm a little shocked. I'm a little shocked by all. Would y'all not agree? This past weekend, from Friday to the two games on Sunday, how can it get any better than that?
But those
3-1, being down 3-1 and coming back 3-1, that's how it gets better.
Ooh.
LeBron came back from 3-1.
That was three years ago.
But it's still entertaining, though.
I got it. But we just had two game sevens and then the Houston Golden State series in game six with Steph Curry just going crazy in the second half. No one they closed Houston out like that. No one expected that. And then these two incredible games on. When have we had a second round this compelling?
It was phenomenal. But game sevens aren't promised. Those great games, those outcomes aren't promised. With LeBron James, you could send it home that the ratings are going to be whatever is high. Right. It's going to be there regardless. You have to depend on.
I don't want to reduce this to just ratings, though. You can't tell me this group, this collection of guys, is fascinating.
You know what you've done, though? You reduced it based on your lesser expectations. You even walked into the playoffs saying, without LeBron, what's going to be captivating? We've had conversations, right?
I didn't know.
Right, but you lessened your expectations, and now they've surpassed that. But in an absolute sense, have they still matched up to what LeBron would bring to the table? Mm-hmm. We are not in that place. We are now in a reduced version of the NBA without the king.
Also, keep this in mind. Also, has there been a time or two, or maybe even more than that, when Lakers LeBron news has overshadowed the playoffs?
A game. A real game going on.
And we've never seen in the second round of playoffs, that was really the finals for the Western Conference and the Eastern Conference.
That's
what we all viewed it as Milwaukee and Boston and Golden State and Houston being in the finals.
Mm. I'm not so sure that's going to be the case. I get that. But what we saw was great competition. 2-7-game series, an incredible show of courage and strength that I didn't even think Golden State had in them. Pair between their legs I didn't think they had in them. That's incredible. That's the best second round of the NBA playoffs I think we've ever seen. And when I look and start thinking about next year, I'm like, oh, my God, this is going to be very fascinating all across the league, even without LeBron. But we'll move on to who was more impressive.
Yeah, we better move on.
We'll move on. Who was more impressive this weekend? Kawhi Leonard, C.J. McCollum, or Steph Curry?
Whew. Only one of those guys didn't just have a moment. They had moments.
Kawhi.
Clip City, Chip City next year. I see you, big dog, already putting in that work. He's going to be a Clipper. Y'all know that, right? Kawhi's moment, one, he struggled overall in the game. We saw that. And then in mid fourth quarter form, like 5-6 straight shots, you say, okay, he's taking over. Mm-hmm. And then you were like, how is this game going to end? And Kawhi, the way that that ended, the exhilaration, the fact that you knew where you were when that shot was bouncing around the rim. Thankfully, I was in my living room, quiet. I mean, it was dead silent in that arena to the point where you were watching it, hearing it go clank, clank, and then it falls through. 18 years ago, they had the Vince Carter shot against these same Sixers, and that shot was an errant shot. He didn't make it. Then you redeem it in poetic justice style. This right here just redeems everything about the risk of taking Kawhi over DeRozan.
Spurs situation.
What happened in yesteryear with Vince Carter. This is a defining moment for that franchise.
I'm going Kawhi as well, high as possible. For the simple fact that I wish James would have went out. You say talking about Kawhi didn't shoot that well.
No.
I wish James would have went out like that. Leave it all on the court. This is my team. They expect me to score. If I got to shoot a million times for us to win, I'm going to go out that way and leave it all. James didn't go out that way. Kawhi did. I'm happy for him. I'm an ex-Spur guy who felt like I didn't get treated fair with the Spurs, so I understand his feeling. We talked about it when we was there, how we felt like we was both held back. My average went up when I left the Spurs. This is what he can do. He always had the attitude of being one of the best players in the league, being a dominant player, being Jordan-esque, being Kobe-esque. He has a lot of those skills in this game. But for the most part, I'm glad he was able to hit this shot because it shows that the kid is really great and it kind of lets off everything that he's been going through the last 2 years. I'm happy for him, man.
Hell yeah.
I appreciate your pick, Jack. You, on the other hand, you put on a great acting performance. You Terry Crews reject.
I'm Terry Crews, don't touch me. You Terry Crews, don't you be touching me.
You Terry Crews reject. Because all you're doing, that's just a recruitment ploy, trying to get Kawhi to the Clippers, trying to say anything positive.
Oh,
that's all that is.
Okay.
That's all that
okay.
is. But I'm going to tell you right now.
You got me.
This is what I got. Yeah. I'm going with the man Stephen Curry. For the simple fact, don't y'all remember that just the days before that game six, he was getting ridiculed for not performing.
Real talk.
He was getting killed. He's not a superstar. He hasn't had a signature playoff game. All of that. And then going to the game six, on a hostile road environment without the best player on the team, Kevin Durant. And then, hold on, I'm not done. 0 points in the first half.
That counts.
The ridicule is still coming. Chris, I know Steven Jackson was cussing him out from his living room home.
I was in first class.
You was in first class? Okay. Of course you are. I wouldn't expect anything less. And then come out in 33 points in the second half and lead the team to a signature win.
Yes.
He told me that was that was the best 18 minutes of his career.
Really?
In that second half. He told me.
I'm going to back Chris up. Woo-hoo, and go
there
Steph
you go.
As well.
There you go.
Really, I don't think there's any other real options. And Kawhi and CJ McCollum, both awesome.
Balling.
But the dude went from, if he doesn't have that game, we remember the missed dunk and the missed layup. And he's the little suburban dude that's got a nice little game, but when the going gets tough, he don't really get going. To come 33 in the second half.
I know that feeling.
That's
I had 32 in one half before. I know that feeling.
And again, when we think about the legacy of this weekend, because it was an incredible weekend of NBA, He just, so many things just happened when he did that in terms of, does KD really have to get up out of Golden State now because it really still is Steph's team after this? When I start thinking about the impact of what he did and the exclamation point he put on his own career, because, you know, he can do some other silly things moving forward, but you can never question him as a dog in this league, as a champion in this league. You can never question it again. I got to go with Steph Curry.
Pushback time.
He's a trendsetter like AI.
Yeah. Okay, pushback time on Steph. Here we go. One, you should tear the card in half because they only played half the damn game, right? Be real. Second of all, if we hooked y'all up to an EKG and then at the end of that game, it tried to measure your heart rate and your rhythm with Steph when that game ended versus when Kawhi in that game ended. Do not act like they're on the same level. Steph's, when it happened, you were like, amazing. How many points did he have? 33. Like, everybody's having this conversation about amazing. When Kawhi's hit, You didn't even have to know English. You didn't even have to know language. You just was like, I felt it. It just jumped out the TV right into you. Like, that was amazing. Steph didn't have that for me. Yeah. It was a collection.
Wasn't it like 16 points in the final 4 minutes?
It's amazing to get 33 in the quarter with a fractured finger on your left hand.
Yeah.
That's hard.
That's hard.
That's hard.
That's hard, but that's a lot of story, too. That's a lot of story. We got to talk our way to it.
Yeah.
Well, Kawhi just like, did that ball just sit on the rim?
First one ever.
And then, boom, and they both had, that was a game winner. That wasn't like, oh, we won the game. That was a game winner, completely different.
You realize the more success Kawhi has in Toronto, the likelihood that he might end up staying
Wrong. That's Kyrie Irving proved that that ain't right. Once you get a ring, you do what the hell you want to do. If he gets this ring, I'm hoping they get a ring.
Anything to get him there.
Yeah.
Hey, guys, Jason Whitlock here. Thank you for listening to the Speak for Yourself podcast. If you like what you hear, then you should take a minute to check out the Maybe I'm Crazy podcast hosted by The Herd's very own Joy Taylor. On the Maybe I'm Crazy podcast, you'll tap into a different take on the world of sports. Joy will break down all the biggest stories from the NFL, NBA, culture, in and out of sports, and everything in between. So subscribe now for a weekly episode of Maybe I'm Crazy every Tuesday night on your favorite podcast platform. Now back to the show.
Time now for a big story brought to you by Fisher Investments. Let's move to the Lakers, who search for a new coach. Mercifully came to an end this weekend after striking out on their top two coach choices, Monty Williams and Ty Lue. The team has reportedly hired former Pacers and Magic head coach Frank Vogel for their top job, with Vogel agreeing to sign a 3-year deal and add Jason Kidd to the staff as an assistant coach. I don't have a real problem with this because I think it's a compromise choice that they did the best they could to survive how many ever days, months, or years they have left with LeBron James.
Forgot him that fast?
Yeah. What? This is just about trying to get through how many ever days, months, or maybe they got 3 years left with LeBron James. It's a very compromised choice. They didn't have a lot of good options.
I don't know who's running this franchise. I know in name who's running this franchise, but in decision-making, I don't. We're all old enough to know Mr. Magoo is, right? You know, my man used to always go the wrong way but end up in the right place.
Right.
I swear they think that works in real life. Like, I'm going to do the wrong thing, but it's going to work out right. Because they continue to make moves that off instinct, as soon as you hear it, you're like, that makes no sense.
Right.
Frank Vogel, respect, but did y'all watch him in Orlando? All right, enough.
Terrible.
Terrible. And then you give him compromised terms, and then you compromise his authority by forcing coaches on his staff, and then say, go play. And you're playing with LeBron James, and in respect to all his greatness, but can be a difficult player to play for. I mean, he'll play with you, but at the same time, he's thinking, I don't respect you.
Mm-hmm.
So I just don't know which way is up with this organization. 6 years straight, they've been the worst team in the NBA. I don't see that changing based on what they did on the sidelines.
Well, it's just crazy. So you're saying that we want you, J. Kidd, to help develop our players, but we want Vogel to get the credit. Mm. That's basically what you're saying. Why not? All the players going to gravitate to J. Kidd. When LeBron walk in there, J. Kidd and Vogel could be standing right by each other. I guarantee you J. Kidd get the first hug and bro shake.
Mm-hmm.
It won't be Vogel. All the players going to be doing the same. The biggest problem.
Let me ask you this, Steve, before you go. When winning championships, because you're the only one that's won one, how important are the bros and the hug shakes? How important are they in the championship? Because I don't remember that. That part of Pop's deal.
Let me tell you what it was. For me to be the player I was when I walked in that gym, it's Greg Popovich and Mike Brown. I'm going to dap Michael Brown because I have a relationship with him. I'm being coached by him. I'm closer to him. I can listen to him, and I want to be. I'm going to play for him.
Guys, so they should have made Brian Brown the head coach.
No. What I'm saying is the relationship. The relationship helps. Okay. The main reason Luke wasn't a good coach because you had the last guy on the bench that wasn't playing has no respect for you. Mm. So they going at you, as what happened this year. All the players were going. It's called respect. They won't have no respect for Vogel. They're going to have respect because he's played, J.K., because he's played the game. He's a coach and he's somebody they look up to. And, yeah, me personally, I'd rather gravitate somebody who I can agree with or have more in common with. I wouldn't have nothing in common with Vogel.
Here's the only thing I want you to understand, Steve, and honest to goodness. Just look across the NBA and what's actually winning. And again, we can get all caught up into the handshakes and the bro hugs and all that other stuff. John Beilein just got hired to coach the Pistons.
That's terrible.
The NBA, the Cleveland Cavaliers.
You got players that should have got that job.
I get it.
What'd you say off mic about players?
You got players are the best coaches.
Yeah. Look what's black going on with the NBA.
You got black coaches out there too that couldn't.
Look
that
what's
that
going
job.
On with the NBA Speak. And who's winning. Systems,
they
coaches.
Don't want the truth,
anyway, go ahead. Go ahead.
You don't want the truth.
No, I'm just pushing back. Everything can be questioned.
But the truth
you can
is.
Me a bro or a hand
yeah, what was your stat? Yeah, what was your stat?
As soon as I came in, I gave you. As soon as I came in, you're the first person I gave one to.
That's important.
And you're the first one I gave one to.
And there's a reason to.
At that.
Because he's the man.
Because you're the man.
You had a stat about former players. Is that accurate?
Yeah, well, okay, well. Huh? Out of the top five winningest coaches of all time,
yeah.
Four of my NBA players.
Former players.
And I always say coaches are best players. It was disrespectful to bring T. Lou in and offer him a less deal than Luke Walton. Man. That's disrespectful. That's basically saying we didn't want you anyway. We're just taking this because so LeBron could be happy. Mm. And it's a lot of other coaches, but
Vogel should be disrespected too. They gave him
he shouldn't have the job. Guys like Stackhouse, Terry Porter, they shouldn't have to go to college to get head coaching jobs. Mm. Especially after you win the championship in the D-League. It's a slap at black coaches. Even the Cleveland thing, that's another slap at black coaches. And it's just the truth.
All right. He's preaching right there. Mm. But when it comes to stability and continuity, when it comes to that coaching staff that's going to be constructed with the Lakers, stability is not going to be there. Just like that. Not going to be there. If we thought we saw a show this past year with the Lakers, boy, wait till the Lakers start losing a couple games. Wait till the stretches come. Mm. And you know, Jason Kidd just sitting right there. Look, and Jason Kidd, I want people to know this and understand this. In that dream that USA team where LeBron and Kobe played together. Jason Kidd was put on that team to kind of fuse some tension between LeBron and Kobe. Him and LeBron have a tight relationship. And then when it comes to player development, look no further than what Kidd did over there in Milwaukee with the Greek Freak. Mm-hmm. And so you add all those different ties, the strong suits, and then he's going to be behind Vogel? Man, come on now. I covered the Cavs when Ty Lue took over for David Black. We know what's going to happen next. It's just a matter of when.
Why not? Why didn't they give the job immediately to Jason Kidd then?
Boy. Well, look. Hmm. Essentially with Kidd and Vogel, why didn't they? Well.
If you can develop the players and Vogel look good, that's perfect for us. That's what they want. Instead of just giving Jay Kidd the job, we want you to develop the players and let Vogel look good for winning.
But why? But why?
Look,
is there a why? Is there a why?
There is a why.
I want to hear
it. It has to be.
Can we hear it?
Hold on.
It's too early in the day.
We got
to
hear it.
Look.
I might not know, but it has to be.
Let's be clear. I want to clean this up here, and I don't know what the why is, but the Lakers are not afraid of having a black head coach. They're not. They've had them. The Magic's had it. Byron Scott had it.
Yeah,
Mike Brown's had it. They're not. Magic had the position of president. This is not. Look. I'm going to tell you the reason, in my view, the reason why LeBron's list of candidates didn't get the head coaching job. And I'll get into it in detail later in the show. He didn't handle it right.
He didn't have a list.
Oh, my God. Stop it, Steven. They ran a whole list of LeBron-approved guys.
Vogel wasn't on his list.
I know.
So it wasn't
he
his
didn't
list.
Get it. Because he didn't handle it right, they go with a compromise choice. Look, man.
To show him they ain't control?
Absolutely.
I can believe that.
I can see the clock right there that. Under that camera. Uh-huh. It says 50 seconds. You got 50 seconds to turn over the wire. I didn't think it was racial. I'm glad you cleaned it up. I wasn't there. I'm with somewhere else.
I didn't say it was that. I didn't allude to that.
I didn't either, but I want to hear it now.
No, well, they have some feeling. Look, Ramona Shelburne put out something a couple days ago saying that Jason Kidd wasn't named the head because of his
Domestic issues.
Back in the day. Yeah. But
he's been, his best friends just ran him out of the Milwaukee job. And Milwaukee right now is the favorite to win the NBA
championship. But I get that.
Steve, I just want to clean up one more thing. Listen, man, I'm all in support of black coaches getting opportunities. But we got to win some titles, too.
But we can't
just give them the job. We've had opportunities now, bro.
We are the players, though.
I get it.
But again, we dominate the league.
They're the coaches. They dominate the league.
But if that's the sole reason why Kidd didn't get the head job, that means, okay, so those mishaps you had in the past is good enough to be an assistant coach?
Yeah.
But not a hit?
Right.
Because, again,
how, does that make any sense?
Things didn't work in Brooklyn. His buddies hired him in Milwaukee and fired him. When your best friends hire you and fire you, that tells you a little something. Mm. He's not the most trustworthy person by resume. He may be by person, but by resume. And if, look, if he was promised to come here, do the stuff behind the scenes, and a year from now or 6 months from now, you can be the head coach, that's a great deal. That's a great opportunity for him. I'm not going to cry over Jason Kidd having to pay some dues before he gets his third head coaching job before winning a damn thing.
Vogel pay dues.
Coming up, he's been to 2 Eastern Conference Finals. His resume as a coach
is better than Jason Kidd. What was his last team?
Ty Lue was disrespected.
Whitlock and Wiley, Steve Jackson and Chris Haynes are back. Let's move to the Western Conference, where the Warriors put a rest to a lot of concerns about losing Kevin Durant, eliminating the Rockets on their home floor to advance to the Western Conference Finals. Golden State was able to pull off the win thanks to a monster 33-point second half from Steph Curry, and Kevin Durant posted his reaction to the win on Instagram, looking pretty pumped for his teammates. All right, the question here is, did the win over the Rockets diminish KD's accomplishments with the Warriors? And I have to say, with no disrespect to KD,
but about
yes,
the
it did.
Oh my goodness.
You think so? I don't see that. I see it actually highlighting that this team is multifaceted and giving respect to Steve Kerr and his philosophy and his style of play, because these guys say, look, we could either let KD lead us and that could look a little more ISO and stagnant, or we could go back to what we have in our DNA from training camp 3-4 years ago with Steve Kerr and saying, we're just going to play ball, flow, movement, and have a motion offense, and we can do this together. So what amazing pliability you have as a team where you could go this way or that way and don't lose anything in terms of greatness. So no shot at KD, but they got a squad.
The biggest thing is when KD's on the court, he's the best player in the world. So they cater to him a little bit.
Yeah, got
when,
to.
When he's not on the court, Steph and Klay can be way more aggressive. They can do more things on the court. They're a championship team with KD. They're a dangerous team without KD. And it's just that simple.
They won one without him, though.
They was up 3-1 without him, too. Mm-hmm. That was a team 5 years ago with a different bench, different team.
True.
Totally different team. That was 5 years ago. That was a long time ago.
But would you hear that if you were Steph and Klay? Would you want someone to slice it up?
No.
Like that?
My confidence is still the same.
Right.
But these are the same guys that went to the Hamptons to recruit KD. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? So they understand how good he is.
Yeah.
They're a championship team with him, without him. They're a dangerous team.
Couple of things. First of all, I think if KD was not available for the entire series, I think Houston advances. I'll just put that out there right now. I think a lot of that game
Let me ask you this, though, bro. Stop you there. Why do we got to speak in hypothetical? They just won two
because
games
I'm gonna
in a row.
I was about to bring that up. If we're talking about game six, look, there was a lot of motivation. Guys were inspired, you know, to go out there and try to, you know, so that was a lot of emotional wear that led to that game. Now, we're talking about that bench. This is the weakest bench that the Warriors have had during this whole championship run.
Right.
They need KD. It doesn't diminish that at all. Now, let's not get it twisted and take that game six performance and think that they can just turn back the hands of time back to 2015 and continue to do this consistently.
No.
That dude right there, they know how important he is to the team. And I'll say this, and I'll let y'all go. After the game, unprompted, Steve Kerr, Stephen Curry, Andre Iguodala, Draymond Green, all came out. We need KD. We need KD.
Ain't no question.
Yeah, we need KD.
Ain't no question about it.
We need him.
The most efficient player ever, bro.
Unprompted.
And I love it. That's what makes them have a great culture and a great team and great respect for each other. And so, look, man, we just talking about the fine details. Is Kevin Durant the best player in the NBA right now?
Yes.
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 Yes. However, if you can take the best player, name me another best player in the NBA you can take off a team and they can go out and win 2 consecutive playoff games against a good team. I just don't know if you take Jordan off, you take LeBron off some teams, you take Kobe off some teams.
Kareem, we're going way back. Kareem when he was injured and Magic went out there and said, give me that.
Yeah.
But
quadruple-double, and he plays center.
That was a good one. Yeah.
That was good. Did, though. I went 40 years back.
You had to go way back.
Hold on.
You had to go way back.
The Miami Heat team, if you take LeBron off, you don't think they can win 2 games with Wade and Bob?
Nah, they didn't. No, we saying that it occurred.
Oh, it occurred.
No, I would even say hypothetically. I don't.
You would have said that about KD and this squad. Every game was close. It was six points or fewer every contest. So if someone would have told you, hypothetically.
But here's, look, fair or unfair, here was the knock on KD. Man, they really didn't need you in Golden State. You're a luxury.
Everybody said
that. And mm-hmm. you can't, this fuels that narrative a little bit, like, hey, man, you're a luxury item. You're not essential. Mm. He is still the best player in the NBA right now. I'm not taking that away from him. But to me, this makes it seem like, yeah, you probably do need to go to New York and do your own thing to really get the kind of credit you want.
Well the people that's saying that must then see that same Golden State team be up 3-1 and lose a championship. They must didn't see that, because when KD came, they ain't lost since.
I saw that.
To nobody.
Steve, let's be honest, though. Draymond did something really stupid in that series that jacked that series.
No question, he did.
If Draymond doesn't do that, Golden State wins that championship.
They still should have won those games, even with Draymond
doing
out.
Doing that, right.
But that's still inexcusable. That,
you're making a point again.
Yeah.
Draymond goes out, and they
still
lose.
Should have won, yeah.
They lose. KD goes out, they win.
Check this out. Say KD never returns for the rest of this postseason. You think Golden State is the favorite to win the championship?
No, I don't. No,
your importance. That speaks to the importance of KD.
No. We're going to let it play out. Let's let it play out. Let's see what happens. I know what I think. I think they will struggle. But I don't know. I thought they'd lose game 5 and 6 against Houston without KD.
Right.
So let me see what happens first. All right, well, it was a big win for the Warriors, but another crushing playoff loss for James Harden. This is becoming a recurring theme for the reigning MVP, with his stats falling across the board when he's in the heat of the postseason in recent years. He's also been eliminated by the Warriors 4 of the last 5 years. All right, the question here is, did the James Harden's reputation take a hit during this postseason? And I say yes. Not quite a Russell Westbrook type meteor hit, but it certainly has taken a hit.
It's certainly taken a hit. I think it's bigger than even James Harden. This whole Houston organization is going to take a hit, but he's the leader of this issue. Now, the issue, hindsight, is 2020. Now, I figured it out. Like, damn, I should have never bet on Houston in this series because of this fractured mindset. Didn't catch it until it ended, and I realized they had crippled themselves going into the series. They thought last year when Chris Paul got hurt that they would be better without when they get their missing star back.
Mm-hmm.
Next year when we get Chris Paul, he stays. We got him. Yeah. Flip that over on his head. I never thought about this. Like, if I was still playing, I would have. Guess what you're thinking? They're going to be worse if they miss their star.
Mm-hmm.
No, they ain't. You know what?
More dangerous.
You know, whatever it is, you got to get on that court and figure out what they're going to be. Don't get into the locker room. Don't get into the meeting room thinking we better and they worse. Because that's what happened in that game 5. Once KD went out, collective relaxation.
Mm-hmm.
They worse.
Right.
And I know in football, as soon as you start thinking that they're not better, this happened actually in 2011 with the Green Bay Packers. 15 guys on IR, they went to the Super Bowl. They was like, ooh, they won it. Next year, when we get everybody back, we're going back to back. Did they go back to back?
Nah.
So I saw that, and I realized that James Harden is leading that mindset, that culture, that made them actually trip themselves up in that series.
Yeah, it kind of hurt him a little bit at the end of the game when I seen how he didn't have the sense of urgency, how he wasn't leaving everything out on the court. That made me look at him different. Just knowing he's the best player on the team and knowing he's not leading by example and not giving his all, that says a lot, and that shows why they didn't lose. I think for the most part, James needs to figure out how he can get somebody to come play with him, because it ain't gonna happen just him on that team. The way style of play, or change coach, but they got to change something there. But it didn't hurt him. It just hurt. It looked bad the way he finished the game, and I think a lot of people are gonna hold on to that.
Well, I disagree slightly with you two. I think this is going to hurt him badly. I think this is going to be a negative stain that's going to be hard to scrape off.
Mm.
You said you don't think it reached the same
as Westbrook.
Westbrook, I disagree.
Yeah, me too.
Because Houston for 3 or 4 years have been obsessed with trying to take down the Rockets.
Golden State.
Their general manager. Players have come out publicly said, we want them. And at times even said they're better than the Warriors. Mm-hmm. So now, and then they talk to the Chris Paul thing. If Chris Paul was healthy last year, who would have won last year? Then they send a memo to the league talking about the officiating. They cost him a chance to get to the finals. So now all that leading up to this moment, now the best player is out. And you go, not you lose game five, okay. You lost, Kevin Durant got hurt in third quarter, didn't play. You lost in Oakland. But now you go to game six without Kevin Durant over there. And you falter at home, you lose the seed at home. This, to me, is even bigger because the expectations were much bigger on James Harden than it was on Westbrook.
And worse than that, you lose to them in a game six series clinching loss when you won two games on that before. Same court when they had their best player. That's my point. Like somewhere
that's the mindset.
Their mindset. They just said, oh, we got them. And all these memos and everything else is just really just like the debris of a fractured mindset that y'all think in the wrong way when y'all approach this team.
I think he's changed the narrative about himself. And maybe I'm wrong for saying it's not the same as Westbrook because I think the same thing happened with Westbrook in terms of I'll never look at Westbrook's triple doubles the same as I used to. Mm. And I'll never look at James Harden's 35, 36 point average in the regular season.
Why?
The way that I used to. Because I just don't think they mean much. Come April and May. I just don't, hey, these are nice little numbers that you're putting up in the regular season, but I don't believe they mean winning come postseason. So I'll just never look at it the same. Both of them makes have sense. Been damaged.
And we've seen that before.
That makes sense.
The Phoenix Suns run, when you start seeing the numbers, you're like, oh, that's
Steve Nash two times.
Yeah, but that's the thing. That's the thing we're doing. Now we have to look at these numbers in a different context because of the way the game is sped up now. So now it's like, okay, triple doubles might have meant the world to us 10 years ago. But the way that the game is played now, where even when you get offensive rebound now, you got 14 seconds left, so you got to get the ball up. So you're going to more rebounds are to be had, more points are to be had. So it's up to us to kind of find, okay, the context, okay, how significant are these numbers really true are?
Well, you know, and the Rockets fell victim to that, okay, they don't have their star players. We're going to win this game easy. But what they don't know is when you play against a team, when they star players out, they become more dangerous because everybody can play free. I don't know how they fell for that.
Steven Jackson's back with us. We're joined now by former Pro Bowl linebacker.
Pro Bowler.
Yeah. Quell Jackson.
Jackson brothers.
The Jackson brothers. The Jackson 2. Time to get anti-social with our man Darnell Smith.
What's going on, fellas?
Darnell. Boy. Happy Monday.
You got the right size on today.
Yeah. I got that 2X back on.
Little baggy though.
I need a tweener. I'm at an XL, I'm at a 2X. I'm somewhere in between.
Oh, look at that. Okay. First world. Okay. First world right there.
Popping on them Twitter streets.
Yes, sir. We're going to get started with a conversation that's been all over Twitter. Yesterday, Kawhi Leonard created arguably one of the greatest sports pictures in history with this great photo of him waiting as his shop bouncing in to take the Raptors to the Eastern Conference Finals. We've had a lot of great sports moments throughout the years. My favorite is Muhammad Ali standing over Sonny Liston after knocking him down in the first round. But even with all these great moments, social media was already calling Kawhi's shot the best sports picture of all time. I think it's a little too early to give him the crown, but do you guys think he even belongs in this group?
No. As much as I love absolutely Kaepernick, not. That didn't belong in that.
There's another one.
I love Kaepernick, but that don't belong in that.
Not at all.
Y'all going too far now. I stand for a lot of stuff. Come on now.
We're talking about on the court, right? On the field.
Just period,
you
though.
Did Jordan not jump from the free throw line? I had that thing hanging up in my dorm room, and it worked. Yeah. Like, everybody that came to my dorm room, and y'all know what I'm talking about, it worked. Like, I kind of looked like him 100 pounds ago. You know what I mean?
Yeah, back then you did. Back then I did.
Like, that's my uncle. So that is the most iconic. This one is just waiting in reaction. Like, that's not even.
Oh,
like,
I love it. It says so much, though. But I'll say this. If they go on to win a championship, then this photo elevates. Right.
We need the ball, the rim.
That's what I was about to say. If the ball and the rim was in this photo, then you got something.
Then you got something.
See, when Ali stand over the guy, he down unconscious damn near. you just got this, right? If it was an action shot where we seen the rim and the ball like hanging on the rim with that in the background, maybe.
Yeah, I agree with Witt, man. If he goes on to get to the championship and he beats Golden State, a healthy Golden State, now we can go back and say, you know what? This is almost close to, remember Tiger Woods, way back when he hit that golf shot, you saw the Nike turnover in the hole. So then you can equate it. But right now, we're the prisoner of the moment. It was a heck of a play.
Yeah.
Great shot and kudos.
But we don't know what that's. Why? I mean, we know what that is. Right. But if you just blindly show that to somebody, they're like, what they doing? Like, that ain't enough. That
looks like a crap game.
Right. Right. Absolutely.
Like, a crap game was the police come.
Where's the hoop
in the police come with?
Messing around in the crap game. Short.
Moving on to my Lakers, who haven't made the playoffs since 2013. Fans are starting to get frustrated. And on Friday, a protest was held outside the Staples Center. Mm. Take a listen.
My uncle had Magic. My older brother had Kobe. I have LeBron. He's brought me nothing. A change needs to happen right now. Get bus out of here. They're too incompetent for this city.
This always got a horrible look for everybody involved.
He, in Laguna Beach.
He got he got cut from AAU, Church League, all that. He mad that he ain't, the Lakers didn't sign him.
I'm going to start with Marcellus. How much did you enjoy watching Lakers fans embarrass themselves?
Oh, man.
You loved it.
Nothing pro about that protest, boy. That was the most amateur-looking thing I ever seen in my life. I was laughing so hard, then I started to actually feel sorry for him. That's a bad look. Mercy rule, you know how it is. You down 21, give up the joysticks,
yeah,
bro.
Come off it.
It's time for them. I'm off of mercy rule right now. I'm not clowning the Lakers so they can at least be viable, be something that I could clown. Because right
them
now,
they ain't real fans, Marcellus, man. He's been out here playing around.
You think they don't go to games?
Man, he's talking about y'all had Kobe, you had Magic, I got LeBron. What is he talking about, Marcellus? These ain't no real fans right now.
That's my point. That's what Lakers fans have turned into.
Call them hoop fans. They should have saved their protest after they signed the coach. Then everybody come, now y'all got a reason to protest. Tell the whole state was down there.
I would have been out there with it.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, man. Moving to Houston, where Rockets owner Timur Fertitta has some choice words following the Friday's elimination. Check this out.
I think the longer that I own this team, they're going to pick up more of my culture is that we had them. We should have stepped on their throat the other night and cut their throat, okay? It's not, let's make a few shots and win. It's step on their throat and let's take it back to Houston and end it in six.
What do you think of the Rockets owner calling out his team?
What's his culture? What did he mean by that?
Some UFC right. fight guy.
Oh, he's a UFC guy.
That's tumble guy.
UFC guys get knocked out too.
Bringing a Jerry Jones.
Oh, yeah, but they get knocked out too. Yeah. Unconscious. They just got knocked out the playoffs. I'd rather be knocked out the playoffs than knocked out unconscious.
I don't mind it. I don't mind it. There was a guy named by the name of Jim Irsay. Mm-hmm. And the Colts. And I remember 2014, he walks in. You know how it goes throughout the week. He walks in on a Wednesday meeting. We have a special guest. Jim Irsay lets the entire team know we need to beat Peyton Manning in his house, and we need to do it right now. You left that meeting knowing, you know what, we probably better win this game or else a lot of us won't have a job. So I love it. I love the fact that the owner is involved. It shows you he probably has a relationship with his best players, and I love him. Mm. I don't have a mind.
Respect
I don't mind.
For that. Yeah. Is it really calling it out if you own a team? Like, you, as much as it's, like, newsworthy, it doesn't translate. Like, I'm sorry. My owners, we try to win one for the Gipper a lot of times.
Right.
We ain't always win one for the Gipper.
Right.
And we also didn't get cut the next day. So, you know, you got to have some consequences.
If you would have finished that, and I'm firing Dan Tony.
Right.
Now we talking. Now we talking, baby. Okay, we're going in the right direction.
Yeah.
All right, time now for Darnell's question of the day. Take it away.
All right, guys. So last week we discussed Aisha's controversial statement on Red Table Talk. You know, Twitter was going crazy. Mm. But it looks like Steph didn't really have a problem with it. For those of you who didn't hear Aisha's statement, take a listen right here.
Something that really bothers me and, like, honestly has given me a sense of a little bit of an insecurity is the fact that, yeah, like, there are all these women, like, throwing themselves. But me, like, the past 10 years, like, I don't have any of that. Like, I have zero, this sounds weird, but, like, male attention. And so then, I begin to internalize it. And I'm like, is something wrong with
you're
me?
Not,
like,
you're not looking.
What,
you're not
like,
looking. You're not even.
Afterwards, Steph made an IG post supporting his wife, saying, proud of you for being authentic and putting yourself out there, not being afraid of the potential BS and nonsense that you could and did come at you. Mm. Way more positive than negative with all of this. Keep being you. I love you. Mm. What do you think of Steph's defense of Aisha? Mm.
Why is everybody looking at me?
I'll go first.
Go ahead.
Well, I mean, I think this is how the situation went. He got home, hugged the baby, you know I support you. Da 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 da. Let's leave it alone. And two steps up the hallway. Don't let it happen again. Point blank.
Let it happen again. I know one thing.
Something was said.
You know why? He ain't even put this on the feed. This hit the story.
And you know how they go.
You know how I see that.
You really don't want nobody to see it when you put it on the story.
You don't want nobody to see it. And even if you see it, you ain't gonna say it for everybody
right.
to see it.
No.
For us that don't understand, what's the story
It's not feed? A private wall, but it's just a little more intimate.
all the responses go directly to you. Not
as you click on your Instagram, you have to click on that. On Instagram, you pay your pictures on the show.
And it disappears one day.
Yes.
It's gone.
Yes.
Only to
yes.
you keep it. Yes. So, Steph, I love you in your defense, but he didn't really go pow.
He's trying to keep peace at his house. Right. He has to go home, so he has to defend his wife in this case.
Yeah.
Well, I defended Aisha last week. I'm going to do it again.
Mm-hmm.
She kept it way too real. She let her true feelings out there that I think are a true human emotion. Like, damn, my husband gets all this attention. Y'all ever see, what's her name? I think her name's Get It Rose. She's big on Instagram.
Girl, you wasn't Rose. Shooting in the gym? Steph Curry, what kind of attention you want?
She's a model that shows up at all the Warriors games.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, right.
Her lusting after Steph.
Oh, yeah.
And so I'm just saying, he's inundated with stuff like that all the time. The woman was just being transparent, like, damn.
But if you know that's not worth a damn because you said all these kind of people, why do you want something that's not worth a damn?
Why do you want something that's artificial?
Yeah, why do you want, why are you signing up for something fake?
Everybody, because aren't we, that's what Twitter and Instagram, it's all fake. We all
that's
sign
what I
up
said,
for it.
Social media.
We all want a little of that social media fake attention.
So social media drives
it. She just let it out there in a moment of too much transparency, and you're right. Steph, like, man, let me go out here and defend my wife and keep some peace here in my house. And I'm sure he did say, baby, let's don't have any more of these slip-ups.
Yeah, I'm with you, Whit.
Tapped on the button.
I'm with you. I mean, this is her first really encounter of now she has a cooking show. She's a part of makeup line. So this is her first encounter of what it really means to have two people in the spotlight and have a healthy marriage. So I'm sure she probably regrets what she said.
I love you.
That's some conversation. That's some conversation that went on behind the closed doors, but
DeQuil,
it shouldn't have been said. I don't agree with what she said.
Aisha been famous for a minute, and let's be real, it's been years. You know what?
She's not allowed to slip up?
No, I'm not saying that, but this is the thing. If you look at Steph's portfolio in terms of his Q rating,
right?
He has not had one incident except kind of recovering from outspoken Aisha.
Right.
And this ain't the first time. Like, people be coming at Steph's head at the park because of Aisha.
Yes,
so if you think about it, Steph, like, I'm unscathed until you get out there and do you. And how did you get to the celebrity island?
She
you
wants
took
to
the bridge on me, with me. So this is not a great look if you're talking about the family dynamic.
And so everybody's not built to be a public figure.
Say it.
Right.
He married someone who's probably not built to be a public figure.
Right.
But that doesn't mean she's the wrong wife for him.
No. You're trying to change the narrative. You're trying to change the narrative. No. Hey, America, listen. I love my wife. We all love our wives.
We love our wives.
We support our wives. Right, wrong, indifferent. Don't do us like that.
Why are you turning this ice cream?
Don't do us like that.
We love you, Aisha.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
All right, welcome back. Whitlock and Wiley. DeQuell Jackson is back with us. Let's move to the NFL, where Dak Prescott is entering the final year of his rookie contract, and a lot of ink has already been spilled debating his value in Dallas. Stephen Jones said last week that some stars will have to make some compromises to keep the Cowboys' core intact. But our friend Bucky Brooks thinks Dak isn't one of them, saying the quarterback is worthy of joining the $30 million quarterback club, which is only a 4-quarterback club, and I think it would be a mistake for Dak Prescott to push the envelope that far and join that $30 million club. I think he goes into that Dallas locker room with averaging $30 million a year. I think his teammates look at him different and start saying, you need to raise your level of play to justify it.
Yeah, tough one here. But I think that Dak should demand $30 million, and
will get $30 million. If you just look at the comps that are out there, obviously, people that are on his level or lesser in terms of accomplishments, Derek Carr is $25 million, Jimmy G is 27.5. You talk about Kirk Cousins at 28. And then you look at Dak, and he's like, I've won the second most amount of games at my position since I've been in the league. So in terms of winning, Dak certainly deserves it. In terms of who he is as an ambassador, as a leader, somebody you can buy into, leading the franchise that is America's team, that is leading the salary cap to bump up $10 million annually, this money is going to be there. So why shouldn't Dak Prescott be the one that takes it?
Yeah, I agree with you. That's what the market kind of garners for quarterbacks. And like you mentioned, he's the best fit for what they want to do. It's not his fault he has a great running back. It's not his fault he has a great O-line. It's not his fault the way the team was built. If the market says $30 million, as being a former player, you go out and get as much as you can. Because let's face it, playing the quarterback position and playing a quarterback position for America's team is a hard thing to do. And he's managed to handle it with, you know, in stride. So I agree. You know what? Take your money if they're willing to give it to you.
Let's deal with the reality, though. When you walk into that locker room with the highest salary on the team, you also walk in there with the highest expectations on the team among your peers. And again, if Dak Prescott doesn't deliver, it's just like Donovan McNabb, to me, in his prime, a far, far better player than Dak Prescott.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
No question.
The expectations within that locker room of him being the highest paid Philadelphia Eagle eventually caught up with him with his teammates. Dak Prescott's going to open him. He's not as good a player as Donovan McNabb. He's going to open himself up to his teammates expecting more from him than perhaps he can deliver.
So do you think, I'm sorry, so do you think he's reached his ceiling at this point? Because basically, you know, they're paying him on, you know, him making obviously gains at the quarterback position. I don't think he's reached his ceiling at this point.
I think
that's a fair question, right?
I think his ceiling doesn't justify $30 million. He's on a rookie contract, so he's definitely underpaid right now. But even at his highest level, I don't think it justifies a $30 million contract.
Well, every contract is based on two principles. One is production, like you actually have earned this and we owe you.
Right.
Or potential, like you better go out there and earn this in the future. And I think Dak is the latter. He's the guy that has that upside, still is a young quarterback. The team.
Will he ever play like a $30 million quarterback?
You're going to laugh in about 5 years and you say, who is a $30 million quarterback? There will be a collection of them. He will play like them. Is he going to play like Kirk Cousins and Jimmy G and all them? He's playing better than those guys.
Jimmy G.
Well, we don't know what Jimmy G and he played.
Sure, still out.
I'd take G's 10 games of potential over what I've seen over Dak over 30.
You forget before Jimmy G got hurt last year, those games, you wouldn't take those. You would take the year before. I respect that. But here's one more thing about Dak that he has to bank on. He has to bank on the fact that this team will grow with me, and this locker room chemistry won't be disrupted. DeMarcus Lawrence, who I respect, has had 25 sacks in the last 2 years, but he's making $21 million a year. Sure. Why? Because that's what you pay a top pass rusher who's young. Well, what do you pay one of the top quarterbacks in terms of age and production? You got to pay him one of the top salaries. That's where that $30 million
comes. He's young. He's still young.
Yeah.
He's still in his rookie deal. We alluded to that. But, again, the guy is still growing at the position. And obviously, the Dallas Cowboys like what they have.
Give me your best-case scenario.
So it depends on what you like as a quarterback. Me, personally, I would rather have an Aaron Rodgers-style quarterback.
No.
But he fits what they do well.
Tell me who's played the quarterback position at a high level that you say, oh, Dak will be just like this guy.
I mean, you have to put him in the category of a Russell Wilson slash.
You think he's going to be as good as Russell?
I think he can. I think he has the.
You think he's going to be, not can,
is going
to be as good as Russell Wilson?
Yes, I do.
We've been looking for you. You're the person in America who believes that. We had heard rumors about you.
I honestly feel like you're here.
You're the guy who thinks
you see the quarterback position is changing over. We're not going to see a ton of these Aaron Rodgers guys. You know, Tom Brady. We're seeing
guys
that are mobile, get outside of the pocket.
And Bucky.
Baker Mayfield.
Real Bucky. That's they too.
Hey, I'm a Dak.
I'm glad you didn't ask me that question. Hell no. Hell, Russell Wilson.
All right, welcome back. Whitlock and Wiley, Steven Jackson and Chris Haynes are back. Let's return to the NBA playoffs, where the Raptors and the Blazers both won game sevens yesterday to advance to the next round. Kawhi's miracle shot landed Toronto in just their second Eastern Conference Finals ever, while C.J. McCollum's big night put Portland back in the Western Conference Finals for the first time in almost 20 years. Both these teams are underdogs against top seeds, but Ramona Shelbourne is reporting that Kevin Durant is out for Game 1 and likely out for Game 2 as well. All right, the question here is, better chance of pulling the upset in the Conference Finals, Raptors or Blazers?
I'm going to go with the Blazers. Just the fact that Dame Lillard does step his game up when he plays against Golden State. If you look at it without KD, it seems like two stars that could make their shots, get their shot off anywhere. And then which team is deeper? I would say Portland is deeper in terms of their bench production. So if you give me 2-2, they neutralize up top, and then you give me more depth over there. I'm going to say the better chance is going to be Portland. But it's a lot of gut, a lot of instinct here, but not a lot of facts here. So we'll see how they play it out.
It only could be one upset, and that's Golden State. It won't be an upset if Milwaukee or Toronto win on that side, because they're both still trying to build something. They're both trying to get somewhere they've never been. They both have two star players that they just get to their peak with. So it won't be an upset either way. Portland, if they can beat Golden State, that would be a big upset, because we all expecting Golden State to be there. We're all expecting them to win. Everybody said this from the beginning of the season to now, still expecting Golden State to win. That's the only upset, but I don't think it's going to happen.
I agree with you there. I personally think Toronto has a great chance. I would favor Toronto. I'm not Vegas, though. But this is a tough question, because Damian Lillard lived for this moment.
Yes.
To go back to his hometown. Mm. And there's some significance. There's a certain appeal there, being that this is going to be the final year of the Warriors being in Oracle Arena. Mm-hmm. Him going back home and doing this. Look, man, he wants this. I talked to him yesterday. He desperately wants this. And I told him my apprehensions about picking Portland in this series. I'm trying to make sure I say this so he doesn't get on me.
Yeah. Now,
look, you know what, man? It's hard. You can't go against Golden State. I'm going to just say this. I think Portland is going to be a tougher fight than people think.
Brookfield would be in the building.
Yeah.
Brookfield would be. That's the danger. They will be in the building.
Yeah.
For sure. And he's going to show out. And he wants to prove he's the best point guard in the league. He's going to show out. The platform is going to be there.
So he takes this battle with Steph Curry a bit personally.
He takes all these battles with these high echelon point guards in the league. Mm. I think most of the stars do.
Yeah, you drive through your neighborhood and you see somebody else billboards all through it, and you know that's what Golden State and Steph and all of them are. And that's my hood, and I'm great myself. Oh, I got issues.
And if you're in the point guard in the West Conference and you don't think like that, you're not at the top.
Mm. I'm gonna go with Kawhi and Toronto here as the best chance, because when you look over in the West, to me, Steph, Golden State, they have so much championship pedigree, DNA, that experience, I think, might be a little too much for Portland. When you go to the East, the guy with the championship resume is Kawhi Leonard. He's done it with the San Antonio Spurs. He knows what this time of year is about. And we just saw yesterday, he's willing to do anything. Yeah. If 39 shots, I'm having a bad game, y'all want to laugh at me? I'm going to keep being Kawhi Leonard and keep taking these shots. And I think he is someone that wants to see, Dame Lillard wants the point guard throne. I think Kawhi wants the whole throne. And hold on,
let's not put words in my mouth now, Jay. He wants the whole throne himself. He wants all the thrones. Right. Whatever throne can be in his grabs, he wants that. But no, he feels like this is their time.
It's crazy. Like, if you look at Golden State right now, Portland can really pose a threat they haven't seen this year. Think about it. Clippers had all that heart, but they didn't really have a ton of talent at the top and the depth.
Backcourt like that.
Right, and then Houston shows up with the talent, but where'd the heart go when you needed it most, right? And now you can combine the forces of the heart, the talent, and the depth, because we know with their talent, they're going to play with heart.
Yes.
Like, Portland's going to show up.
Yes.
All right, before we go, I'd like to say a few final words on LeBron James, Jeannie Buss, the Lakers coaching search, and slogans on T-shirts. Wearing a shoe company-backed equality T-shirt is rather easy. It in no way signals that when presented an opportunity to partner with and support the lone woman running an NBA franchise, that a man will do it. That takes a level of courage and substance that goes well beyond a T-shirt. It is equally easy to don a more than an athlete T-shirt, but it in no way establishes that the wearer of the slogan understands the realities of corporate politics or life outside shorts and jerseys. Here's what we've learned about LeBron James since he moved to Los Angeles. When you take off the uniform, he's far more a slogan than leader. His power comes from his ability to dunk a basketball, not his ability to maneuver chess pieces in the game of life. Lakers owner Jeannie Buss is a queen. A smart king would have recognized the desperation of her situation, looked at the pawns, rooks, knights, and bishops, advising her, and persuaded her to work with him over them. LeBron chose the wrong approach. He had chose the approach of a tyrant and a bully. Last summer, before the season, he refused to even meet with head coach Luke Walton. That Buss had invested in. And then LeBron undermined and emasculated Walton throughout the season. James ignored him in huddles. He carried wine into the Staples Center. The man who claims to be more than an athlete spent the entire season acting like a spoiled, petulant one. He confirmed every negative narrative whispered about him by Pat Riley, Dan Gilbert, and Phil Jackson. In the make-believe rigged world of social media, all negative narratives about James are dismissed as racism. In the real world, the narratives are not dismissed. The people close to Jeannie Buss, Rob Pelinka, Kobe Bryant, Phil Jackson, Kurt and Linda Rambis, even Magic Johnson, used those narratives to argue the Lakers would be foolish to turn the organization over to an entitled king. LeBron's childlike approach empowered his critics and the whisperers in Jeannie's ear. Cleveland owner Dan Gilbert, who is worth $7 billion, lost millions of dollars each year chasing titles the LeBron James way and had his reputation smeared by LeBron's insubordination. Buss, who is worth about $500 million, she can't take the same financial beatings as Gilbert in pursuit of LeBron-led championships that may never come. The Lakers have 16 NBA titles. The Cavaliers have the one Gilbert purchased LeBron for a small fortune. All of this explains why Frank Vogel is the Lakers' new head coach and not Tyronn Lue, Monty Williams, Juwan Howard, or Jason Kidd. LeBron played checkers in a game of chess. Choose chess over checkers, LeBron. Put that on your next T-shirt. Uncle Jimmy's here to share his thoughts on the show so far today.
Oh, you're sharing too much. Robo.
Go ahead. We got to be quick.
All right, man. Let's be quick. Let's not hurry. Big dummy of the day. Go to the same person that still keep on watching Game of Thrones.
Again.
We talked about this last week.
Last Sunday we didn't see it. This Sunday we didn't see it. We ain't going to ever see it.
Here's a highlight from our discussion earlier about Kawhi Leonard.
Ain't it over?
Dragons?
Kawhi Leonard swung the final sword when his crazy baseline jumper finally fell through the nets and closed out the Sixers in Game 7 Sunday night. That was the exclamation point.
It was dead silent in that arena to the point where you were watching it, hearing it go clank, clank, and then it falls through. This is a defining moment for that franchise.
All right, Uncle Jimmy, you got a take?
What'd I tell y'all? This need to be the Uncle Jimmy eye. I got one for you. Pardon Uncle Jimmy. Got a little twang to it, don't it?
Yeah, a little bite.
You got a point.
Yeah, you're taking
stuff. Yeah, I got a point.
Stop stealing.
Yeah.
Stop stealing.
I got a point. Look here, man, your infatuation with Game of Thrones is starting to wear thin on myself as well as others.
Starting?
Especially when it comes to LeBron James. See, you sit up here, you accusing it of being a Game of Thrones and this and this and other. Bro, I'm going to stick to something I know.
Yeah.
What? The Sopranos.
Oh, you Tony Soprano.
Real Tony, LeBron James.
Yeah.
LeBron James is Tony Soprano. Okay? Tony was the nice little mob boss from New Jersey. Mm. Okay? But let me tell you who Tony wasn't. And we love Tony, right? But he wasn't no Johnny Sack. Johnny Sack was the drug kingpin from New York.
No, he was the mafia kingpin, but go ahead, from New York.
Mm. Yeah. You understand what I'm saying? So here's what I'm trying to tell you. If you want to be the man, you want to be a kingpin, you got to be the kingpin of a major city. You understand? You have to be.
Really?
Look at Magic and Barry. Listen, Magic and Larry Bird, they had everything locked up on both coasts from L.A. to Boston.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Michael Jeffrey Jordan ran everything on both sides of Chicago for several years.
In the middle, right?
Now, let me explain this to you. Now, he got down to Miami. Everybody knew that Miami was Wade County.
Oh, you're talking about LeBron.
Rumor has it on the streets, when LeBron got down there to Miami,
yeah,
it was still Wade County. Rumor had on the street even Gabby Union had more juice than him. And hey, hey, what the brothers tell you? Hey, L.A.'s still Kobe country, Holmes. All LeBron done ever claimed was Cleveland. Who came out of Cleveland? Gerald LeVert? Arsenio Hall? He couldn't even overtake Don King. Don King got more bodies on him than LeBron James. Okay. Bro, let me tell you something. When Kawhi Leonard shot up that shot, ka-ka, and then he did like this, and it went dark, bam. It was just like the end of Sopranos. Everybody want to know what happened. I'm going to tell you what happened, man. Tony got killed. Just like LeBron James' career got killed.
What?
It's done. It's over.
Wait.
LeBron.
What?
If you want to be a if you want to be a kingpin, you want to run your city, you got to get a major city. That's why Kevin Durant is leaving, going to New York. See, because he know in order to be the man, he got to run a big city.
Well, LeBron in L.A., so...
It's still Kobe country, Holmes.
You can't overtake that.
Whenever you get done.
You can't overtake Kobe.
Yeah, it's okay. Still, that's true.
It's
though.
Over, bro.
It's still Kobe country.
Yeah. Hey, the screen went dark. You don't know what happened. Spoiler alert. He dead. It's over.
Oh, all right. Man. Let me get to my approval rating
I'm
for
sorry,
Kawhi
I wasn't
Leonard.
Supposed to say it.
No, you said it. You broke
I'm going Kawhi Leonard GOAT status.
Whoa.
25 job performance. Could you do any better than game winning 41 points in a game seven?
With you, bro.
18 all-time greatness, 18 character, 19 authenticity, and 80 a GOAT. Kawhi Leonard.
The only dispute I got with you a little bit is the character. He's close to the GOAT. Yesterday was an amazing moment, one of the best we've seen in sports history, basketball certainly. Character, you got him kind of high for somebody you don't know anything about. Like, I mean, I don't know what's high behind him. You ain't saying nothing. You got to give me something, Kawhi. So other than that, all good.
He gave you something.